JC Corcoran Podcast.
Oh, I just can't get these numbers to add up.
It's like we're never going to get out of this hole.
Credit card debt, does it ever end?
Maybe I can help.
We sure could use it.
We've tried debt consolidation companies.
We've even taken out loans to help make payments.
Well, you're not the only ones. Did you know millions of Americans live with debt they cannot control? That's why I developed this unique new program for managing your debt. It's called Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford.
Oh, let me see that. If you don't have any money, you should not buy anything. Sounds interesting.
Sounds confusing.
I don't know, honey. This makes a lot of sense. There's a whole section here on how to buy expensive things using money you save.
Give me that. And where would you get this saved money?
I tell you where and how in chapter 3.
Okay, but what if I want something but I don't have any money?
You don't buy it.
Well, let's say I don't have enough money to buy something. Should I buy it anyway?
No.
Now I'm really confused.
It's a little confusing at first.
Well, what if you have the money? Can you buy something?
Yes.
Now take the money away. Same story?
Nope. You shouldn't buy stuff when you don't have the money.
I think I got it. I buy something I want and then hope that I can pay for it, right?
No. You make sure you have money, then you buy it.
Oh, then you buy it. But shouldn't you buy it before you have the money?
No.
Why not?
It's in the book. It's only one page long. The advice is priceless and the book is free.
Wow, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, we can put it on our credit card.
So get out of debt now. Write for your free copy of Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford. And if you order now, you'll also receive Seriously, If You Don't Have the Money, Don't Buy It, along with a 12-month subscription to Stop Buying Stuff magazine. So order today.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Monday, Monday, can't trust that. Monday, December 5th. Still can't even believe I'm saying December. Holy crap. Monday, December 5th, 2022, 72 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com, but you probably already knew that. Well, I got a couple of very good friends who are soccer aficionados. Tom Schwartz and Ted Williams have been doing the soccer show on 590 The Fan for years and years and years, and they're good friends, and they're just really, really into soccer. And you know, every time I'm a lost cause, I think, because I keep trying to like soccer, and I didn't grow up in St. Louis, and in Chicago, where I did grow up, we played baseball and softball and hockey and, you know, football and all the sort of sports that, well, I mean, I thought they were the only sports. I thought soccer was something that people played on the other side of the earth. And it turned out when I was a kid, they were playing it 300 miles to the southwest of Chicago in St. Louis. So when I got to St. Louis, I was like, what's all this soccer stuff going on here? And I've been trying to deal with it for the last 38 years. All three of my daughters have played soccer at some point in their lives. I was always uncomfortable with that idea because when the kids are out there and you're thinking, okay, they could have done that better, they could have done that better. And then you say to yourself at the same time, I don't have any idea what I'm talking about. I could be telling them the wrong thing. Stand over here, honey, because then the ball will come your way and blah, blah. She could be off size. I don't know. I will tell you that I really did enjoy the women back in, was that what, 2018? In fact, when we went out on Saturday morning to watch the game at a popular sort of like a first watch type place, and my daughter was wearing her Mia Hamm soccer jersey, and I thought that was really cool, and a lot of people thought that was really cute. I don't know what's going on because it's the only sport I can think of where I would rather watch the women play than the men. And then you throw in the old goalie Hope Solo because you need at least one insane person involved in every sport to make it interesting. In football right now, you got Antonio Brown. Baseball, there's been a lot of real, you know, characters. And then you had the drug issue, you know, the steroids and everything like that. In hockey for years, it was Bob Probert, who people were like fearful of and drawn to at the same time. You watch the women play in soccer. You're like, is Hope Solo out? Is she drunk out there? We don't even know. I mean, you stop to think about it. You know, hockey. The entire arena is drunk, basically. Especially if it's the Blackhawks in town. Everybody's drunk. You'd think that would bring people together. You know, the Blues fans and the Blackhawks fans. You'd think the fact that everybody is hammered would sort of draw them together, but let's just say I would not want to be driving anywhere in the vicinity of downtown St. Louis on a night where the Blues and Blackhawks game just let out. You know, even the Zamboni driver gets a DUI, you know? And another question, too. Why do all of the FIFA officials, you know, because they show them during the course of the game, you see them sitting there, why do they all look like Dr. Evil? And then you got the drumming and the chanting that seems to go on irrespective of what's going on in the game. It's like, we're ahead, beat on the drum and chant. We're behind, beat on the drum and chant. Hey, we just scored, beat on the drum and chant. Hey, we're getting shut out, beat on the drum and chant. There's like no correspondence between what go. Never mind. I guess I just don't understand. I guess I'm just not wired to understand soccer. But I will tell you this. Everybody kept telling me it's a young team. It's a young team. Which is a dangerous thing to say because now the young team, they play again in another 4 years? Does that make them an old team now? Hey, guys, nice to see you. Here in 2026? Yeah, but the USA team would get down near the goal, and it was just like this orange wall. Anyhow, now we shift back to football. I think this was remarkable. I don't know if you caught this yesterday, but here is the... Yeah, this was the Philly game yesterday. Philly game, and it was the third commercial break. So you're like, you know, halfway through the first quarter of the NFL game yesterday as they're getting ready to go to commercial.
And Ellis was there as well. A little Fleetwood Mac to break the passing of their lead singer, one of their most famous songs, Christine McVie, passing away at age 79 on Wednesday.
I thought that was remarkable, right? In the middle of an NFL game, they paid tribute to Christine McVie. And if you're like me, you're still thinking about that. That was such a gut punch last week, and I'm not over it yet. I spent a good chunk of the weekend thinking about her and thinking about the band and just thinking about the whole situation. And that was very, very disturbing for a lot of people. And as I've said, though, this was a reminder that more of this is to come. We're going to lose everybody. We're going to lose everybody in the next 5 to 10 years. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pleasant. And then it's going to be our turn. And somehow this seems appropriate because the year was 2006, which was 16 years ago tonight. The number 16 got his jersey retired.
And as 16 raises up into the rafters, I don't want you just to applaud that. I want you to applaud every person that ever wore the blue note, and I want you to applaud yourself, because there may be equals, but there are no better hockey fans in the world. And as much as I'm remiss about not being able to hoist the cup down Market Street, with the new leadership of Mr. Checkitz and John Davidson, this organization is going in the right direction, and stick with them, and they will lead you the right way. I thank you. This is my extreme honor and privilege to be in front of you.
But you really don't remember.
See, Holly did get his shot. He did get his thrill of a lifetime. Him on stage during that rally, singing Gloria. God, think about all the wonderful sports moments in St. Louis, and that's got to be near the top. Jeez. Oh, man, all of that 16 years ago today. Over to baseball for a minute. Is it going to be Wilson Contreras, or is it going to be Sean Murphy? Sean Murphy, the catcher for the Oakland A's, is a free agent, and there's stories that that's going to happen, but I still think it's going to be Wilson Contreras. I've said that from the beginning, and I know they met with him over the weekend also. We need a catcher, and nobody is going to ever make anybody forget Yadier Molina. I don't know enough about Sean Murphy. I know he's really good, but I'm telling you, Wilson Contreras, okay, he's been, you know, with the Cubs for the last, what, 8 years, but I am telling you, this is a great catcher, and Cardinal fans should consider themselves very, very fortunate. We get our hands on him. He's also a great offensive threat. I'm really looking forward to this thing playing out. Of course, the owners' meetings are coming up here, I guess, in the next couple of days. It used to be that's where the big, big deals always took place. It's less so now, but it's still a big deal. All right, over to Saturday Night Live. This is Keke Palmer. I didn't know that much about her. My God, is she a talented actress and comedian and singer. It just seems like she can do everything. My gosh. It was a weird show this weekend, though. The whole first half of the show was really, really good. And for the first time in years, for some reason, Weekend Update sort of sucked. And then the whole second half of the show was terrible. But the whole first half of the show, like the first 40 minutes or so, were just fantastic. And they did a lot of pre-recorded pieces. And this chick from St. Louis, the SZA, S-Z-A. Now, I have to tell you, we've talked about this before. My daughter is an old soul. And so when we're in the car and she wants to hear music, which is all the time, you know, she's listening to Motown. She's listening to Fleetwood Mac. She just recently got into Dean Martin. She's 13. But that's about maybe a third of the time where she's listening to stuff. I'm like, where did you ever even hear about some of these bands? And of course, it was us. We were sort of unknowingly exposing her to all of this music at a very early age, and now it just seems normal for her to be listening to this kind of stuff. But she does spend more than half of her time listening to what we'll call kids' music, the stuff that the kids are listening to today. So when I'm in the car, I'm listening to a lot of her music. So I knew who SZA was. I just didn't know how good she was. Now, this takes a little, if you were watching the show, you know what I'm talking about here. But this is, again, one of those, this is like a music video that they did. And the theme of the video was all these black girls. So you had Punky Johnson and Ego Odum, regular cast members. And then, of course, like I said, you got Keke Palmer in there. So they had all of these black girls doing a music video about why, instead of being attracted to some guy who's really ripped, that you should go for a big boy, a big fat guy. And then the lyrics talked about why have they got these big fat guys who are dancing along with the girls. It was hilarious. You get a chance to see this. You go back, very, very clever. But the whole idea was get yourself a big boy because they may not look that great, but their shirt off, but they're very loyal and strong and stuff like that. But I'm telling you something, I would buy this song, even though it's a parody. It's a joke, but man, is this a good melody. So here, listen a little bit of this from Saturday Night Live over the weekend.
Winter has arrived, y'all.
Temperature's dropping.
And you know what that means.
It's cuffing season.
That time of year when we find a man to keep us warm through these cold months.
But not just any man will do.
That's right. We out here looking for some
big boys.
It's cuffing season. Now we got a reason to get a big boy. I need a big boy. Give me a big boy.
Big boy.
It's cuffing season. All the girls are leaving to get a big boy.
Big
I need
boy.
A big boy.
Big
I want a big boy.
I need a big boy with polar bear arms. Keeps me warm in the winter snowstorm. When chill is biting, but his jacket's unzipped. He bring in my groceries in just one trip.
Till the sun comes back, I need a
a big boy hottie. Makes his own heat with his big boy body. For the next 3 months, skinny boys is dead. Forget a six pack, I need the whole damn keg. Big boy, with a big old back. A California king, refrigerator stack. With steaks on steaks on steaks on steaks on steaks. Butter, bacon, cheese, and lasagna in a tray.
Need an enormous man with an enormous stand. Feeds me snacks with his enormous hands. And I hope he asks me to be his winter wife. Cause messing with a big boy will change your life.
It's cuffing season, and all the girls be needing. Need a big boy, I want a big boy. Give me a
damn,
big
is that a good melody? Now, let me tell you something else. It has just occurred to me, and I probably should have thought of this ahead of time. Is it possible that that is the melody of one of her existing songs, or did they write that melody just for this piece? Now, see, I don't know that, but I should probably consult with my daughter, and maybe I can have this all straight for you by tomorrow. Oh, by the way, Keke Palmer, the host of Saturday Night Live, walked out there, and she's like, yeah, people are saying that I look pregnant and something like that. And then she popped open her blazer, and there was her bare stomach hanging out. And it was very obvious that she was probably about, looked to me, about 4 or 5 months along. So she actually is pregnant. Pretty interesting show, though, like I said. Oh, by the way, we were talking a little bit about this last week. My daughter has watched Home Alone so many times now that she's actually catching little mistakes in the movie, little continuity issues. So we got into a long discussion about what the continuity is. And, you know, you watch a movie and everybody leaves, and sometimes people will stay around and watch some of the credits because they want to know, for example, like, where was that shot? I want to see where that, oh, look at that, it was the Bahamas, you know. So, but 99% of the audience leaves. I'm always the last person to leave the theater because I'm sitting there. I really enjoy watching credits. Sometimes I'll catch a name that rings a bell. There's actually a lot of interesting stuff in the credits, but one of the reasons people don't hang around is because they don't know what any of that stuff means, all the technical stuff, like key grip and things like that. And one of the things you'll always see a name of somebody who is the continuity director. And the continuity person basically stands there on the set of every single shot that is filmed for the movie and has a little clipboard and keeps track of things like, were you holding your drink in your left hand or are you holding it in your right hand? Because obviously they shoot movies out of sequence. And so you might shoot one scene on a Thursday and you might not see the remainder of the scene being shot until a month from then. And it is the continuity director's job to make sure that the whole everything, that everything matches. So in Home Alone, when he's sitting there and the clock says 8:57, if there's another clock in the room, that's got to say 8:57 too, so that people don't sit there watching the movie going, oh, look at that, the clock is wrong, because that's what people do on the internet because everybody's bored. But the continuity director has a very, very interesting job, I think. And so now what my daughter identified as a mistake, where Kevin calls the 911 number and gives the wrong address, people are like, no, he did that on purpose because he wanted the cops to come to that address, because if you saw the end of the movie, and you know what I'm talking about. But even with somebody standing there, and you know, whose job it is to make sure that all these scenes match, things still fall through the cracks. And as you know, there are websites dedicated to nothing but the discussion about mistakes that are made in movies, like Saturday Night Fever. It was Gene Siskel actually pointed this out to me once. He's like, when you watch Saturday Night Fever, when John Travolta is walking into the disco on Saturday night, thus the name Saturday Night Fever. Anyhow, when he's walking in, he's greeted by the same guy twice. Next time you watch Saturday Night Fever, just watch when he walks into the disco in that white suit. There's a guy who welcomes him, and then they cut to a different shot, and then when they cut back to the same shot, that guy is greeting John Travolta again. And don't even get me started on that stupid 3 men and a baby thing. Oh, by the way, in addition to this being the anniversary of Brett Hull's jersey being retired and put up into the rafters, this was also the day that the power went back on during the blizzard. Well, it was actually the ice storm of 2006. When I say the power went back on, it went back on for me. There were still a lot of people over in Illinois, especially, where, you know, if you were out in the hinterlands, where people didn't have power for almost 2 weeks. Oh, one more thing. Over to Stephen Colbert from Friday night. as we get ready for this clusterfuck in Georgia tomorrow night.
Here's why the nervousness, okay? The Republicans are anxious that the former president could poison the well, with one insider saying he is toxic to a lot of Georgia voters. It's a distraction. Yes, they don't want the former president saying something stupid that could distract from Herschel Walker saying something idiotic. And the other reason they're worried about the former president sticking his mushroom cap into the door hinge of democracy is because they feel like he really screwed them in the midterms with his terrible candidates and his terrible terribleness. So the right-wing news machine has begun to turn away from him. Yesterday, Fox News and The Wall Street Journal ran headlines calling him a loser. And today, The New York Post compared him to Humpty Dumpty, saying, Don, who couldn't build a wall, had a great fall. That's The New York Post. It's not a positive sign when a print newspaper calls you a failure. It's like getting a scathing critique from a rotary phone.
All right. Did you hang any Christmas lights over the weekend? A poll found 23% of people usually start decorating in the first week of December, but 15% still think that's too early. Chris Christie's niece is on a plane over the weekend and sees some people with brown skin and just sort of arbitrarily, randomly decides that they're drug smugglers and starts making a scene, and they're like, sit down and shut the fuck up. What are you talking about, drug smugglers? And she's like, look at him, look at him. They're like, we are looking at them. They're drug smugglers. Sit the fuck down. Well, she didn't, and they had to call the police, and the plane went back to the gate, and now the cops come on to take her away, and she bites one of the cops. She bit a cop. She's like, I have friends who are very powerful. My uncle is one of those, you know, do you know who I am things. I don't know. She bit a cop. Well, I don't know. Maybe hunger runs in the family. Good morning, everybody. Donald Trump has called for the termination of the United States Constitution so that he can be installed as president. God, you thought Kanye was the craziest person to have dinner at Mar-a-Lago. The three most attractive women on the planet right now, number one, Charlotte McKinney, number two, Paige Spiranak, number three, Emily Ratajkowski, who did a TikTok dance in a half shirt over the weekend. Is it possible to be too sexy, too pretty, to the point where your beauty becomes distracting to people like me? Cut it out! All right, Monday Night Football, Tampa hosting the New Orleans Saints. These Jimmy Fallon shows are popping up all over the place. He's doing Password, and he's got this That's My Jam holiday edition thing. That's going to be on NBC tonight. Fred Armisen, Anna Gasteyer, Rachel Dratch, and Melissa Villaseñor, all from Saturday Night Live. It's the only saving grace in this whole thing. Jimmy Fallon, he just runs around like he's got fire ants in his crotch or something. Remember the original Password? It was sort of classic black and white TV. It was dignified. People showed up in tuxedos. You had Alan Ludden. And then even when they rebooted Password, the stuff you see on the Game Show Network now, I guess was back in the 70s. Even then, it was pretty true to the original. Now Jimmy Fallon is like, okay, I'm gonna produce this Password thing, and I'll be on all the shows. And every time he gets something right, he's like running around the set, practically hauling ass through the audience and then running back and sitting down and jumping around and everything. It's like, sit down. You know, here's a general rule that is prominent in show business. If your material is not particularly strong, you do something to augment that material, oftentimes just running around like a nut. Then after that, Jimmy Fallon's regular show, Tonight Show, Selena Gomez, Sebastian Maniscalco. There's a guy I don't get. Man, oh man. I thought Dane Cook made me reach for the remote. This Sebastian Maniscalco. Do not get it at all. All right, Jimmy Kimmel's got Brendan Fraser, who, you want to talk about a comeback. You want to talk about a comeback. This guy might win an Oscar for Best Actor for this new movie that's coming out. Stephen Colbert, John David Washington. I guess I'm supposed to know who that is. I don't. Kenan Thompson, I'm with James Corden. Seth Meyers has Leah Michelle, who's doing Funny Girl on Broadway right now. Violent Night makes $13.3 million over the weekend, but Black Panther Wakanda Forever still rules at the box office. those Taylor Swift fans are not going away peacefully. They are now suing Ticketmaster over the Eras Tour pre-sale debacle. And I think they got a pretty damn good case if you want to know something. David Byrne from Talking Heads released a holiday song called The Fat Man's Coming. I'll check it out. If it's any good, we'll play it for you. Birthdays today, a guy whose name I've just given up on trying to pronounce. Laurie Mack used to try to help me out because I got some sort of mental block here. It's the kid from Malcolm in the Middle, Frankie, whatever it is. Muniz. I for the life of me, I cannot pronounce this kid's name. 37 today. Paula Patton, who used to be married to Robin Thicke, and he fucked that up. She's a very, very pretty gal. 47. Brian Backer, the Rat. Mark Ratner from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, finally getting the respect he so richly deserves. 66 today. Jim Messina, as in Loggins and, 75 today. Walt Disney's birthday is today. He's got a frozen head stuffed away somewhere in Orlando. And General George Custer, still considered a celebrity. It was born on this date in 1839, or as the unknown comic on the Gong Show used to say, what was General Custer wearing at the Battle of the Little Big Horn? An arrow shirt! Checky, checky, checky! I can't believe I'm Facebook friends with that guy, comedian by the name of Murray Langston out in California, and I've talked to him many times online. You know, I'm a kid in my 20s, and I'm watching the Gong Show. And here it is now. I can talk to the guy anytime I want. This blows my mind. Beverly Hills Cop, released on this date back in 1984. The Gin Blossoms songwriter Douglas Hopkins committed suicide at his home in Tempe, Arizona, at the age of 32 on this date in 1993. He had been fired from the band the previous year to his out-of-control boozing. And it was 14 years ago today, 2008, OJ sentenced to 33 years in prison after being convicted of armed robbery and kidnapping. He was granted parole, released in October of 2017. Still looking for those real killers. Let's talk about Brad in Florida. Arrested while trying to steal from Walmart while the store was hosting a Shop with a Cop event. There were around 40 cops shopping with kids in the Walmart at the time, including the county sheriff. Not surprisingly, this guy had drug paraphernalia on him at the time, including a meth pipe. It's unclear what he was trying to steal, but in addition to drugs, he had some Versace cologne on him. They haven't said what charges he's facing. Then some idiot in Georgia got arrested for two outstanding warrants last week after he complained on Facebook about not making the sheriff's 10 most wanted criminals list. And they tracked him down, and he's in the pokey. In 2016, two twins were accused of cheating on a medical school exam because they had some of the same answers. They sued the school, arguing that similar scores are common for twins and that they had not signaled answers to one another. A jury agreed, and they just gave him $1.5 million. A dad in Woodland Hills, California, rescued his two-year-old daughter. This was all over TV over the weekend, the video of this whole thing, and it's online somewhere, I'm sure. But a coyote comes running down this residential street and tries to drag a two-year-old kid away. And the father sees this. He goes, runs over. Now, this coyote looks like he's still ready to attack either the kid or him. And so he just threw a rock at the thing and it finally scampered off. But the coyote almost took off with the two-year-old. She's going to be all right, by the way. She had to be vaccinated for rabies. IBS. That's that thing where your stomach just sort of goes berserk in your bowels and all that sort of stuff. Now, scientists are saying that IBS may be triggered by gravity intolerance. The idea is that our gut gets thrown out of whack if we can't manage the pull of gravity. And that can cause the same symptoms that we attribute to IBS. What the hell are you supposed to do now? Seeing as gravity exists in most places on Earth. In a new survey, 47% of people admitted to having intentionally stretched the truth on a dating profile. And the most common thing people lie about is their current hairstyle, which probably means having an outdated photo. Axl Rose ain't going to throw his microphone into the crowd anymore. He's done it for 30 years, but he did it in Australia a while back, and some kid got hit right in the head. You know, those microphones are about 4 pounds and they're made of metal. If you get hit in the head or in the face with a flying microphone, I guarantee you'd know it. And if you've been following the career of Alec Baldwin, and especially if you've been following the personal life of Alec Baldwin, he's married a couple of times, you know, Kim Basinger, all that sort of stuff. But then he hooks up with this chick, Hilaria, who is a yoga instructor. It looks damn good. She's a liar. I'm trying to say she's like Spanish or something, and she grew up in like Connecticut. I caught her lying about it a couple of months ago. And Alec, coming from a large Catholic family, apparently does not believe in birth control and is repopulating the earth. It's something like 7 kids he's had with this chick. She just keeps pumping them out like iPhones. And now apparently Hilaria has had it, and she says she wants her husband, Alec Baldwin, to get a vasectomy. Alec Baldwin shooting blanks. What could go wrong? And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Monday, December 5th, 2022 is in the can, 72 days until I get to ride my bike over to the spring training camp, which is right down the road from where I am. Spring training, pitchers and catchers reporting in 72 days. All right, we're here every weekday morning right about this time at jcontheline.com. Please spread the word. You can also email me, jc at jcontheline.com. Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, we beat this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.